Dentistry has to have one of the widest income gaps of almost any career. There are some dentists making millions of dollars each year, and there are some dentists who are just barely making 100K per year. Today, I want to talk about the five levers you can pull to increase the amount of money you're making each year as a dentist. The thing separating dentists who are making $1 million a year from those making $100,000 a year are really just these five key things. And the more you can optimize each one of these specific levers, the more money you're going to be making, the easier your job is going to be, and the more successful you're going to be in the long term. So number one, if you want to make more money as a dentist, you just need to see more patients. A big part of what I do is I help dentists buy dental practices. And the key thing that you're looking at when you're looking at a practice is how many active patients there are at that practice. Some people tend to get this confused. They're like, why are you focusing so much on active patients? Shouldn't I be focusing on what the seller's net income was? Shouldn't I be focusing on what revenue was last year? The first step in making money as a dentist is seeing patients. And the more patients you're able to see, the more money you're going to be able to make. By far, the easiest lever to increase your income as a dentist is simply to see more patients. And so if you buy a practice that has 500 patients, you're going to be struggling. But if you buy a practice that has 2,000 plus patients, it's going to be almost impossible for you not to do well. Keep in mind that at a dental practice, the majority of your expenses are relatively fixed expenses. Rent and payroll, for instance, are not going to change based upon the number of patients that you see. Yeah, maybe you have to hire an extra assistant or something if your schedule is getting too busy. But for the most part, rent and payroll, your two biggest expenses as a dentist, are going to be relatively fixed. Most of the other things in the practice are also relatively fixed. The amount you're paying for electricity really isn't going to change depending on the amount of patients you see. The only things that really change are supplies and lab fees. So there are a few variable expenses, but for the most part, things are relatively fixed. So if you can just see more patients, you're going to be making a lot more money at the practice. Generally, you're going to need about 1,000 to 2,000 active patients. Once you get above that 2,000 number, it's going to get a little bit much for a single dentist to be able to handle. You're probably going to need to, at that point, start looking at hiring an associate or bringing else someone in to help you. But 1,000 patients is where you need to be aiming to start at. So the first lever is increasing the number of patients. Second thing, treatment planning. Don't make this more complicated than it needs to be. When a patient comes into your office, you want to be comprehensively treatment planning everything that you see. It's super common that someone will come in and they need 10 crowns. Or they need fillings on 20 different teeth. And you as a dentist, you might feel a little bit afraid to tell this person, hey, you have a lot of decay in your mouth. Hey, you have a lot of cracked teeth. Hey, you have a lot of work that needs done. Hey, you have gaps in your teeth and we need to be putting implants there to keep your teeth from collapsing in on each other. There are so many things that you as a dentist are trained to treatment plan on. Hey, your lower incisors need to be straightened out. We offer Invisalign for that. There are so many things you can do, so many things you can offer. When a patient comes in the door, you need to be offering everything that you can so that you're treatment planning as comprehensively as possible. There's two reasons you need to be doing that. First of all, it's just the right thing to do. You need to offer the patient the best treatment possible. You don't know how much money that patient has. You just need to offer them the best treatment that you have available. That is the moral thing to do. Don't offer a patient an MODBL if you know that a crown is a better treatment for that patient. Now, once you offer the best treatment, on some cases, the patient's going to say, hey, I can't afford that right now. Is there something less expensive we can do? At that point, then offer the MODBL. But you need to be starting out saying, hey, we can do a zirconia crown on that, which is going to be an amazing restoration, which is going to fix that problem. You need to be offering the best treatment to every patient before you start offering them lower things or before you start putting watches on teeth to try to potentially do later. I can't tell you the number of times that I have seen patients come in who look like they aren't going to have any money at all. And you just treatment plan. You say, this is the ideal thing we could do. And sometimes they go to their car and they come back in with cash and they say, can I just pay in cash? I'm ready to do it right now. You cannot judge how much a patient is going to be able to pay based on their appearance. You just need to treatment plan the best thing and go from there. So we looked at number of patients. We looked at how much you're treatment planning per patient. So the next thing is going to be case acceptance. out of the work that you are treatment planning, how can you get more patients to follow through with that work? Remember, you're not selling something that's going to be harmful to this patient. You're not like Coca-Cola trying to sell poison in a bottle to people. You are a dentist and you are improving people's health. You're improving their lives. You're improving everything about them by fixing their teeth. People will have better social relationships when their teeth are fixed. There's all sorts of studies that show when periodontal disease is taken care of, it can reduce all sorts of risks from heart disease to strokes, et cetera. There are all sorts of things that you as a dentist are improving in this patient's lives by making sure they follow through with that treatment. So your job as a dentist is not only to tell patients what they need, but to do the best job at being convincing and getting the patient to follow through with that treatment. The amazing thing with being a dentist is the incentives are 100% aligned in your favor. By treatment planning the best possible treatments for patients, and by helping to make sure they follow through with those treatments, you are not only going to be improving the patient's lives, but you're going to be making more money for yourselves. All of the incentives are in your favor here. Your goal is to get patients to follow through with treatment. There's so many ways to do that. Everyone is going to have their own unique methods to do this. I mean, for one, you need to be very clear with the patients on what they need done. Do not act like it's not that big of a deal. You need to say, hey, this is serious, Mrs. Jones. You have some serious decay in these teeth and we need to get this taken care of right away, or else you could potentially lose these teeth, or worse, you could end up with some sort of infection that could potentially be really dangerous if it happens at the wrong time. With some patients, you might need to appeal to their sense of aesthetics, talking about how much better their teeth are going to look once they've had this treatment done. With others, you're going to need to answer some of the financial questions. They're going to ask, why does it cost this much? And you need to have good answers for that. For others, they're going to be forgetful and they're just not going to remember they need this done. And you need to have a solid system where your front desk is calling in and reminding patients of the work they need done. There are so many steps that you can follow, but just basically any type of system that you can put in place that's going to increase your case acceptance is going to increase the quality of care for the patients and is going to increase the amount of money that you're able to make. So the first three, number of patients, your treatment plans, and your case acceptance, that is going to determine your collections, also known as your revenue, the total top end, the amount of money that you are generating for the business. Your revenue is determined by these three levers. Number four are expenses. Now, once you make a certain amount of money, you're going to have to pay expenses afterwards. Anything you can do to reduce those expenses is going to be pure profit for you as a dentist. I was talking to someone the other day who was debating between having air-driven handpieces and electric handpieces, and we were going through how much it was going to cost. So the practice already had the air-driven handpieces in place, and they were talking to a rep who was going to upgrade to these electric handpieces, and it was going to cost, it was like $50,000 or something. And if you're making a lot of money and having those electric handpieces is really important to you, that's fine. Like, do what makes you happy, that's great. But this dentist really didn't care that much between the two. They were just doing it because they thought they were supposed to do it. And like, we were looking at it and I was saying, so if you spend this $50,000, that is going to be 50 grand that is going to come right out of your profit, because patients aren't going to pay more because you have a fancier handpiece. Now, if you need the new handpieces, you need them. But if you don't need them, why are you spending that money? And even if you do want electric handpieces, I think you can find them cheaper than that $50,000. I think this dentist had just talked to some sales rep who was trying to sell them the highest end, latest cutting edge model that probably wasn't any better than a much less expensive model. Now, of course, that was for the whole office for the $50,000. But expenses matter. Now, with that being said, increasing the number of patients, increasing your treatment planning, and increasing your case acceptance rate, I would focus on those three first before trying to reduce expenses, especially expenses surrounding payroll and staff. If you start cutting people's salaries, et cetera, they're not going to want to come back. If you're known as the dentist who's paying his employees less than others in town, chances are employees are going to leave. You're going to have a hard time hiring people. I wouldn't focus too much on expenses, but you know, you need to keep this in mind. Finally, number five, profit sharing. You've spent all this time seeing patients. You've worked on your treatment planning skills. You're getting better at case acceptance. You're having more and more patients accept treatment. You've reduced your expenses to a reasonable rate. And now a lot of dentists, for whatever reason, They decide they want to share their profit with someone else. If you are working as an employee, either for a corporation or for another dentist, you can try to make it whatever you want it to be in your head. But the reality, what you are doing is you are sharing a portion of your profit with someone else. Maybe you say, hey, I like working as an employee. I like sharing my profit with someone else. That's fine. If you like it, keep doing. This is your life. You're going to be making less money. If you're fine with that, great. But what you are doing is you are sharing your profit with someone else. Generally, most contracts for dentists, they make them all sorts of different ways. And of course, there are exceptions. But for the most part, if you are a dentist working as an employee for someone else, you're going to be sharing roughly 50% of your profit with someone else. There are lots of different ways to dress it up, lots of different contracts, lots of different ways that you can be paid, et cetera, as an employee. But the reality is, if you're working as an employee, you are probably sharing about 50% of your profit with someone else. As a general rule of thumb, in order to make the same amount of money that you would be making as an owner if you were working as an employee, because you're sharing 50% of your profits, you're either going to need to see twice as many patients, you're going to need to treatment plan twice as much, you're going to need to have twice the case acceptance, or you're going to need to reduce your expenses dramatically in order to make the same amount of money. I get emails, I get messages, people telling me all the time, hey, I'm working as an employee, I'm making good money, I like it, why would I need to become an owner? You don't have to. Do what you like. This is your life. Live it the way you want to live. But just keep in mind, as an employee, you have to see twice as many patients as you would have to see if you were an owner. Or you're going to make half as much as you would be making if you were an owner. If you're all right with that trade-off, great. But if you're not all right with that trade-off, well, then you know what you need to do. You need to find out how to become the owner of a practice with a high number of patients. When you go to another office, you are going to bring along with you your treatment planning. You are going to bring along with you your case acceptance. You are going to bring, in a lot of different ways, the expenses with you. You know, the lab you use, the supplies you use, those are all going to be variable costs that are going to be determined by the choices that you make. When you buy a practice, you do need to take a look at the rent and the payroll, because those are the two that are a little bit more difficult to change, as well as the loan payment, because once you agree to a certain amount of loan, you have to pay that amount every month. So the rent, the loan payment, and the payroll, those are the three big expenses that I look at when I'm evaluating practices for clients, because those three are the ones that are hard to change and are not going to be dependent upon the dentist so much as they are on the practice. But basically that means when you're looking at becoming an owner, you need to see, is this practice going to have a high number of patients? If you do a startup, the practice is going to start with zero patients. And so let's say you can get 200 to 300 patients per year, which would be a good number to get. Let's average that out and say 250. If you need at least 1,000 patients to have a profitable practice, it's going to take you 4 years to become profitable if you do a startup. But if you can find a practice that has 1,000, 1,500, 2,000 active patients, assuming rent, payroll, and the loan, monthly loan payments are reasonable, you are going to be able to be profitable right away. This is why I always recommend considering an acquisition over a startup, because you can be profitable year one. It's not uncommon for dentists to make $500,000, $600,000, $700,000, $800,000 their first year of ownership. But that only happens if you buy the right practice, the practice that is going to have a high number of active patients and low fixed expenses. All right, so I got a spreadsheet pulled up here, and I just want to look at these five different factors: patients, treatment planning, case acceptance, expenses, and profit sharing, and just see how much money you'd be making depending on how you change these numbers. So scenario one, we have low income associate, right? Patients, let's say they're seeing 800 patients. They're treatment planning $1,400 per patient with a case acceptance of about 50%. For simplicity's sake, we'll say expenses are 60%. Obviously, in real life, it's more complicated than just expenses because there's the fixed and the variable expenses and things are going to change. For now, we're just going to set it at 60%. And they're at an associate job where they're sharing 50% of their profit with the owner. So we're going to take 800, we're going to multiply it by 1,400, multiply that by 50% case acceptance, subtracting out that 60% expense, so you're keeping 40%, and then multiplying that by a 50% profit share. The low-income associate, is making $112,000 a year. You think maybe that's okay, but keep in mind, you still have to pay back your student loans and you have to pay taxes, you have to pay for your own health insurance, etc. You know, it's not great. You went to dental school. You spent an enormous amount of time learning the skills that you have, and you're barely making more than $100,000 a year. So let's play around with a few of these levers. What if instead of seeing 800 patients, you're now seeing 1,200 patients? Well, now you've increased your income to $168,000 per year. I mean, that's a pretty decent increase. Now you're working a lot harder to get that. But let's say you increase your case acceptance from 50% to 60%. Now you're up to $200,000. You know, just that 10% makes a big difference. Now let's say maybe you start treatment planning some new procedures. Maybe you add in clear aligners, which you weren't doing before. And now instead of treatment planning $1,400 per patient, you're able to treatment plan $1,700 per patient. Well, now you're making $244,000. So we're about double where we started. And the changes that we made, we saw 400 more patients per year. We increased our treatment planning per patient by about $300, and we increased our case acceptance by about 10%. Those are reasonable changes that you can make even at an associate job. You can reasonably make those types of changes fairly easily, and you've doubled your income. $250,000 is kind of the maximum that most dentists are going to make long-term at an associate job. Yes, I hear about dentists who are making more than that. You might be making more than that, sure. But oftentimes those situations are not sustainable. Usually that means you're working 5 days a week, you're seeing a huge amount of patients, and it's not the kind of lifestyle you're going to want to have for the rest of your life. Most dentists are not able to continually work 5 days a week for the rest of their lives. It's just too hard on your back. It's too hard on you mentally. And also life is just too good to spend it sitting in a dental office your entire life. Sure, dentistry is a great job, but you don't want to do it every day for the rest of your life. You want to have other things that you want to do. You want to spend your time in other ways. And if you want to be able to make good money and have a certain amount of freedom, you're probably going to struggle when you're sharing 50% of your profit with someone else. So now let's take this dentist right here, who's making $244,000 a year. And the only change we're going to make is this dentist is going to become an owner. Same exact patients, same exact treatment planning per patient, same exact case acceptance, same exact expenses. But now, instead of profit sharing 50%, you're the owner of the business and you're sharing 0%. But instead of sharing your profit with someone else, you're getting to keep 100% of your own profit, right? Now you're making $489,000. Seeing the same number of patients, treatment planning the same exact things on those patients. The thing is, in reality, what you'll find is when you are the owner of a business, you're usually respected more by the patients than when you're working as an associate. The patients can tell. They can tell when you are an associate versus an owner. And oftentimes, without even doing anything, case acceptance goes up just because you're an owner. So from that 60%, we're now at 70% case acceptance. Now, instead of making $489,000, we're making $571,000 per year. And this is pretty common. I see this, the same number of patients, the same treatment planning per patient. You go from being an associate making $240,000 a year to being an owner making $571,000 a year. These are real numbers that I see on almost a daily basis working with dentists who are buying practices. Is you can more than double your income by doing the same amount of work just by becoming an owner. Now, let's look at some of these super dentists. Let's say you're the type of dentist who is able to see 2,000 patients per year, which is, it's very possible. There are dentists who are able to see 2,000 patients per year. You might be interested to look, how many patients have you actually seen at your associate job? You might be seeing quite a few, but let's say you're seeing 2,000. Now you're making $952,000 per year, almost $1 million a year if you're seeing 2,000 patients. That's why I say you need to have at least 1,000 patients at a practice. If you can get to 2,000, you're going to be doing really well. More than 2,000, it's going to be difficult because that's probably too many patients for one dentist to see. Personally, I wouldn't want to see 2,000 patients a year. That'd be too many for me personally because I don't want to work 5 days a week. I don't want to be working that hard. But if you are the type that likes to see a lot of patients, if you're an owner, you can make a lot of money. But let's say on the other hand, you just want to see the 1,200 patients. You don't want to see 2,000 patients. That's too many. But maybe you start introducing implants. Maybe you get better at treatment planning. You start doing some all-on-four cases. You start being more comprehensive in the things you treatment plan. Instead of treatment planning on average 1,700, let's say you can treatment plan 2,500, $840,000 per year. Once again, you're getting close to that $1 million range. You're seeing 1,200 patients, but you're just getting better at the things you treatment plan. You have more options for patients. You're helping provide them with the best treatment possible, and they're taking you up on it at 70% case acceptance. You could be making as much as $840,000 a year as a dentist. You don't have to be some super dentist who's seeing 2,000 patients a year. You don't have to be some sort of super high treatment planner that's treatment planning 2,500 per patient. You could just be a very average dentist seeing 1,200 patients, treatment planning about $1,700 per patient, and you're still making $489,000 per year as an owner. Dentistry is such a great field to be in. There is so much opportunity. There's so many different options of how you can practice. You don't have to be an owner. You don't have to see a lot of patients. You don't have to be a high treatment planner. You can choose which of these levers you want to pull. You can choose what you want to focus on. Maybe you like seeing a fewer number of patients. You can do that. Maybe you like working as an employee, and even though you have to share half of your profits, as long as you still see a lot of patients, you can still make really good money. Maybe you don't need that much money. Maybe making $100,000 a year is fine with you. You're happy working part-time as an associate. Yeah, you're sharing 50% of your profit. Yeah, you're not making as much money as someone who's working a lot harder. But still, $100,000 a year is still good money. Like, all of these options here are good options. You are going to be fine. Really, almost whatever you do as a dentist, you're going to be fine. The only mistake you could make is you could either do a startup or buy the wrong practice, and you could be in a situation where you're making less money than you would have been making if you just stayed at your associate job. That's why it's super important that if you're going to become an owner, which I recommend you become an owner, but if you're going to, make sure you buy the right practice, make sure you do this right. You are about to make a decision that could cost you millions of dollars, either in the positive or the negative. If you make the wrong decision, you could be making a $2-4 million mistake. If you make the right decision, you could be making a $2-4 million awesome decision. Basically, everyone out there is trying to somehow get money from you. When you reach out to banks, the banks are going to be paid a percentage of the closing price on that practice. If you reach out to a lawyer, the lawyer is only getting paid if you move forward on buying that practice and they can use you for their services. If you reach out to an accountant, the accountant is only going to get paid once you sign up after closing on the practice to use their services. So basically, everyone's incentive is to have you buy the most expensive practice as quickly as possible. It might make sense to buy an expensive practice. It might. Just keep in mind, you want to have this number of patient number be as high as possible, and you want to have this expense number be as low as possible. Focus on those two things. Don't worry about all the other things. There's going to be so many numbers involved when you're looking at practices, so many little details, and it's easy to get lost in the weeds. If you're talking to practice brokers, they're going to be showing you all these numbers. They're going to be saying, oh, this is what the net income was. This is what the revenue was. This is this procedure, that. All that really matters is how many patients are at that practice. Now, don't just take the word of the practice broker or the seller on the number of patients at that practice. You need to verify that number yourself. This number right here, the top number on this equation, number of patients, is the most important number when you are looking at practices. Therefore, make sure that you are verifying that number multiple different ways. I have plenty of other videos you can check out where I talk about how to actually verify this active patient number. I have a free resource that I will include in the description that goes through a lot of the details on how you can evaluate practices and look for this active patient number. There's multiple different ways to do it. Check out the free resource. It'll be in the description below. But overall, the takeaway here, if you just make a few decisions right, you have so much potential as a dentist.